I've been praying about some stuff. Well, praying. That's part of what we're talking about today is praying. Past couple of weeks that I've done Bible study here on Tuesday nights, there's been a couple of things I've been ministering on. So if you've been going to those Bible studies, no, I'm not teaching the same message. I might talk about some of the same stuff, but it's not going to be the same message. One of them was prayer, and the other one was just learning how to hang in there. There was a lady at our school today. She sent an email out, and she was talking about the wintry blues, because teachers sometimes get, you know, what they call winter blues, because once Christmas is passed, January rolls around, and here come all the Christmas debt, or here comes the fact that she said that our football team didn't make the playoffs and we don't get to cheer for them anymore or whatever. But she just talked about just staying focused and hanging in there. And another thing is prayer. And it's one thing I've been reading a lot about, and I don't want you to get religious about this. This is really totally up to you. I'm going to tell you what I'm doing and what I'm believing for. And if it fits you, great. If it doesn't, you know, there's no right or wrong way. There's a way I think we should do it. You know, I think it brings honor to God. And then there's other things that, you know, you could lead this whole prayer thing into a religious thing, and it's not what it's supposed to be, because in the Old Testament days, they prayed so many times a day. Well, in the New Testament, God said to pray continuously, all the time, whenever you think about it. Does that mean you walk around saying Jesus, Jesus, you know, praying in tongues, walking around all day, and that's all you ever talk about, and that's all you ever say, and you just do that 24 hours a day? That's not what it's saying. What he was saying is there's not a religious time to go do it every day. There's not a set appointed time. Daniel prayed three times a day. Morning, probably around noonish, in the evening. But God said in the New Testament, he said, pray continuously. Anytime you're feeling... See, what's amazing is the New Testament... See, we got it made, man. We got it made. We have the Holy Ghost with us. We have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. The Old Testament people did not have that. Moses did not have that. Neither did Daniel. Neither did Elijah or Elisha. Jeremiah, all the prophets. None of them had that. We don't have to go pray to the high priest anymore or bring our offerings to him so that he can go intercede for us now. We don't have to send the high priest into the tent anymore to do a sacrificial offering, and if he doesn't do it right, he dies. Thank God that when we come boldly before the Lord, there's not a religious way to do it, and if we don't do it right, we fall dead. Somebody has to drag us out of the anointed room by a rope. But those two things I've been praying about more than anything, you know, how to set up a prayer room. And like I said, don't get religious about this. I'm not saying this is the exact way you have to do it in order to be successful at it. That's not what I'm saying. You can pray driving down the road in your car. That's part of the continuous part. Praying when you're driving to work, praying when you're at work, praying when you're leaving work, praying when you're traveling, praying when you're getting on an airplane. All of those things, that's praying continuously. But I've been believing for some stuff. I've been believing for like just a prayer room dedicated straight just to God. That's it. That's all that happens in there. We don't have family meetings in there. We don't have dinner in there. It is a room specifically for God, anointed, playing music 24 hours a day. You know, just something like that. That's just something I'm believing for. I'm also praying and believing for a swimming pool. My wife is half fish, okay? I married a half fish. You know, she loves to swim. Kids, I don't know a kid that doesn't love to swim. Get a big, you know, a big pool, you know, diving board where you can, phew, you know, land in the water, belly flop, I don't know. I'm praying for those things. I want a place where I can meet God every day and just go right there, spend time with him. If he wants to talk to me, great. If he doesn't, I'll get up and go to work. Amen. I'm not saying it has to be in the morning. I'm not saying it has to be at nighttime. Whatever's best for you. We know Jesus prayed in the morning, but we also know he prayed at night. Right before he was crucified, he took his disciples up to the mountain and said, hey, you guys wait here. I'm going to go over here and pray. He was praying, and he earnestly prayed. I read in the book of Matthew, he prayed three times for God to remove this cup. You think, I mean, you talk about, you think your issues are bad. Try praying to God saying, you know, if this cup should pass from me so I don't have to be crucified. Imagine going to God in the prayer room for that and saying, if this cup can pass from me, let it be so. He was praying and sweating to the point of blood, dropping, blood, sweat drops, praying that if this cup can pass from me, let it be. Make it happen, Lord. But if not, let your will be done. In Job 28, if you want to turn to Job 28 and also Romans 8, I want to show you some revelation that I've been getting. There's multiple revelations you can get from these scriptures, but this is one I was getting. Job 28, right before Psalms. Psalms is a pretty big book. If you can't find Job, just turn right to the left of Psalms. Job 28 says, verse 1. I'm going to read some out of the King James, some out of the Amplified, but I'm going to start in verse 1. He says, surely there is a mine for silver and a place where they refine gold. Iron is taken out of the earth and copper is smelted from the stone ore. Man puts an end to darkness by bringing in a light. Y'all see any revelation in that one scripture? He brings light into darkness. They're talking about mining. What miners do. They walk into a mine, it's pitch black. When they go down there, you can't see your hand in front of your face. He said, until the farthest bound he searches out, the rock buried in gloom and deep shadow. He breaks open mine shafts far away from where people live, in places forgotten by the human foot. In other words, nobody's ever been there. They dangle in mines and hang away from men. As for the earth, out of it comes food, but underneath its surface, down deep, it is turned over as fire. Its stones are the bed of sapphires. It holds dust of gold. The path deep within, no bird of prey knows. No bird's ever been there. No foot has ever trodden there, and the falcon's eye has not caught sight of it. Verse 8, the proud beast and their young have not walked on it, nor has the fierce lion passed over it. Man puts his hand on and tears apart the flinty rock. He overturns the mountains at the base and looking for treasure. He cuts out channels and passages among the rocks, and his eye sees every precious thing. Man dams up the streams from flowing so that they do not trickle into the mine. We know that to be true. Anytime they're, you know, because underground there's water. And if they go down into a mine, there's water. They dam it up, make sure the water doesn't keep seeping in. It might seep in a little bit, but it doesn't create a river. And what is hidden, he brings out to the light. Man, there's so much revelation. You could preach three sermons on those 11 scriptures right there. Let me tell you what I got from that. As it relates to prayer, it's just like tithes and offerings. It's no different. When you come and bring money to God, you should expect God to bring money to you. When you go into the prayer closet or wherever it is that you're praying, you should expect God to bring you revelation. Now, let me tell you something about the prayer room. And as it relates to these scriptures. Here's a revelation for you. Everything on this planet that is worth anything, think about things that are worth something. Everything on this planet that is worth something is hidden. Where do you find diamonds? Where do you find gold? Where do you find oil? Everything on this planet that's worth anything is hidden. It's all somewhere in the earth that's going to require some research. It's going to require, if you own heavy machinery and you have the ability to search for it that way, you have to do some digging. Anything worth finding in life that's worth anything is going to require some digging. The prayer room, my friends, is where you find valuable jewels. In the prayer room is where God reveals to you what is worth something and what is worth nothing. If you want to know how to be successful in life, you want to know where to go next, if you want to know what step number two is as it relates to your job, as it relates to your family, if you need to know what step number two is, because step number one is nothing more than just getting to the prayer room or praying wherever it is you pray. What did God say about going to heaven? He said, step number one is you, with your mouth, confess that Jesus is Lord. That's step number one. You can't get to step number two without step number one. This isn't a math test. You don't get to go answer all the questions that you know and come back and answer the ones that you don't. Step number two is not revealed until you follow through with step number one. If you are wanting those prize jewels that can bring prosperity into your life like you have never seen, you are going to have to learn how to pray. You are going to have to learn how to dig. That's what prayer is. It's digging, man. It's going in there, giving your time to God, worshiping Him. And I was telling when we were teaching in the here on Tuesday, I said, there is an atmosphere. Let me tell you something about God. God is like us. He's just like us. God loves atmospheres. What do you think weightlifters do when they walk into to go into a weight room and work out? Do you think they're playing Beethoven? No, they got rock and roll, baby. We got to have something to get us pumped up. We got to have some energy. Why? Because you're creating an atmosphere. You think football players are listening to Beethoven? No, they got it. I mean, they're about to go head-on-head collision. And last week, if you were watching football, they were playing in 15-degree temperatures. How many of you know it ain't very much fun to hit helmets with 15 degrees? It's cold. Your fingers are cold. Your head's cold. Your body's cold. Your toes are cold. Ain't much fun running when it's cold. But you got to have something. You got to create an atmosphere. You got to get every one of them. You see them getting off the bus. Every one of them got on headphones, and they're like this. And they're walking, they're carrying their bags. You know, they're focused. That's their prayer room before they go into battle. That's it. Why? They're creating an atmosphere. Now, when you're trying to go to sleep, you're not playing Metallica or AC/DC. You're not playing rock music. You're playing Beethoven. Why? You're trying to create an atmosphere. You don't go to sleep listening to rock music. Some of you might. If you do, you're a rock and roll stud. Anytime you go into the prayer room, God wants the exact same thing. He wants an atmosphere. You don't walk in there and just start making demands. Hey, God, hey, I need this and 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 this. Can you pull that off for me? Can you get that for me? Can you? And he's up there like, what, no hello? No hey, good to see you? Just telling me what you want? And again, I make sure you understand me. I'm not saying it has to be this way. I'm just saying, you know, what I believe. You walk into the, when you go into prayer, you go into first with music and worship and just say, thank you, God, that I'm breathing today. Thank you, Lord, that, you know, everything I'm going to set my hands to do today, whether it's work out and get in shape. I mean, how many of you know you got to take care of your body? Amen. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. This is where it dwells. This is where it is, right here. You got to take care of it. If not, you're going to end up dead. Amen? You don't eat the right foods, or you don't exercise, you don't take care of yourself. I'm here to tell you, it is not. You're headed down the wrong path. God loves atmosphere. When we come to church, when we come into here, we're trying to create an atmosphere, right? Of worship and praise. That's what the music's for before we get up here and, you know, do a sermon. The music sets the mood. The music sets the atmosphere. The music happens first because we want God to know, hey, we're glad to be here. This song is for you. We're praising. That music's not necessarily for us to, you know, build each other up. It's for us to just say thanks to God. It's to help build you up. But it's because God's building you up because of the music. Things that are of value are hidden. God gives you revelation of things once you start asking Him, Now that I've done step number one, what is step number two? You can't be blessed and walk according to God's way of doing things until you actually become a son of the Lord Jesus Christ. Till you become a son, adopted into God's way, into God's family. God's not going to reveal to an atheist or a devil worshiper exactly how to prosper. He just won't. He won't do that. Why? Because they don't belong to him. It's not until they do step number one do they get step number two. You have to move dirt to find things that are valuable. That's what fracking is for oil. That's what they use heavy machinery for, to dig for gold. And they dig for rubies and diamonds and sapphires and all those precious diamonds, all those precious stones. You have to use machinery to go find it. My friends, that is what your prayer room is. That's what your prayer is the heavy machinery doing the digging, saying, God, here I am. Hello, God. This is me. I'm here. I'm here for you. What do you want to say to me? You know, there are some things. Now, listen, you can go in and ask for things. God wants you to pray for things. Just by saying somebody's name in a prayer room, God takes notice of that. He takes a record of it. Okay, I hear you praying for songs. He takes record of those things. Feel free to ask. Feel free to walk into the prayer room totally broken. If you're, when I'm talking about getting along in life, sometimes we need help just getting by, because, man, I'm telling you, sometimes life can just kick you in the tail with a size 12, amen? It's okay to walk in there broken. There's not a religious way to do it. If you're broken, you walk in there broken. If you're happy, walk in there happy. If you're excited, walk in there excited. If you're full of joy, walk in there with joy. Walk in there and just be yourself. God can take whatever it is that you're dealing with. God can take any personality you're willing to walk in there with. And in verse 12, he says, where is wisdom? He said, but where can wisdom be found? I'll tell you where it's found. It's found in the prayer room. And as you read down into verse 20, if you keep reading, I don't have time to read all this, but if you get down to verse 20, he says, whence then cometh wisdom, and where is the place of understanding? Where does it come from? Who possesses it? I'm here to tell you, if God created it, then he's the one that possesses it. And if you want to extract that information, you got to learn how to pray. And then verse 28, or verse 27, 28, he says, then he saw wisdom and declared it. He'd established it and searched it out. But to man he said, behold, the reverential and worshipful fear of the Lord, that. Anytime you see the word that, make sure you understand that that's exactly what it's talking about. That, the reverential fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. You have to have a fear of the Lord, reverentially, not afraid of God, but reverentially fearing God in order to obtain the wisdom. And he says, and to depart from evil is understanding. Is understanding. To depart from evil is. Now, when it says is, that's pretty much saying that this is it. You want understanding? Depart from evil. If you're walking in ways and God, and it's not pleasing to God, he's going to try to prune you, and he's going to try to bring constructive criticism and say, you need to be pruned. You need to get rid of this old limb, because you're not that old man anymore. You're not who you used to be. You're now this guy. Not that guy, you're this guy. If you're going to produce godly fruit, you've got to start doing godly things, and you're going to have to start pruning all of the old man limbs. Because all the old man limbs, the old man before you got saved was producing dirty, sinful fruit. Dirty. Dirty fruit. It's rotten. It hits the ground rotten. It is not worth eating. Romans chapter 8. I'm going to try to speed up a little bit. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. In the Amplified, it says, for I consider from the standpoint of faith that the sufferings of the present life are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us and in us. For even the whole creation, all of nature, waits eagerly for the children of God to be revealed. Did you know nature? I mean, this is so spirit. This is so deep. I mean, have you ever walked out to a tree and say, now, is that tree actually thinking that is he actually waiting for God to return? There have been people that have gone to heaven that have testimonies that say when you get to heaven and when you walk on the grass and you hit the flowers, that the flowers don't fall over and die. They pop back up and they wave and they move and they have life. Nothing dies. Nothing. To think that the fish and the cows, now I can understand the cows waiting, you know, because, you know, your life as a cow is you live, you die, you end up on a plate. I can imagine being a cow, you know, mooing at 4 a.m. saying, "Oh God, please come now so I don't have to go to the auction barn." Can you imagine nature, the rocks and the grass and the dirt and the oceans and the whales and the sharks, even the great white sharks, are looking forward to the resurrection and the revealing of the Son of Man. Man, that's way deep. That's deep, man. Yeah, I know, poor old dinosaurs, they didn't make it. For the creation was subject to frustration and futility, not willing, because of some intentional fault on its part, but the will of Him who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself will also be freed from the bondage to decay and gain entrance into the glorious freedom of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been moaning together as in pains of childbirth until now. And not only this, but we too, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, a joyful indication of the blessings to come, even we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the sign of our adoption as sons, the redemption and transformation of our body, which is the resurrection. For in this hope we are saved by faith, but hope, the subject of which is seen, is not hope. For who hopes for what he has already seen? So in other words, if you already have it, you're not hoping for it anymore. That new car you're believing for, once you get it, you're not hoping for it anymore. You already got it. But if we hope, verse 25, for what we do not see, we wait eagerly for it with patience and composure. Patience and composure. Patience and composure. My God, it is tough sometimes to be patient. It is tough sometimes to be patient. Everything that you have to deal with, everything that you wake up to and you're worried about stuff, which you shouldn't be doing anyway, but it's man's nature, and you've got to learn how to take control of that spirit called worry. You get a revelation. This is what I wrote. There is revelation in prayer, a revelation that God is revealing things to us, a revelation of all creation waiting for redemption, a revelation that we have the first fruits of the Spirit, and a revelation of a transformation of our body at the resurrection. We have a revelation of that we are saved through faith, a revelation that we wait with patience and composure. My friends, there is no other way to receive Jesus except through faith. You have to believe by faith that He was actually sent here for you. There is no alternative. There's nothing else. We have revelation. There is a revelation in those scriptures that you find out through prayer, that there is a transformation going on, and we have to patiently be waiting for it. My friends, you do not, people always want to sow seed and believe for the blessing to come immediately. I'm like, are you believing for a bicycle blessing or a Rolls Royce blessing? Which one are you waiting for? It takes time. It takes more time to build the Rolls Royce than it does a bicycle. It takes time. Don't start giving and expect God to all of a sudden wake up the next day and you're like, wow, $100 bill right there. Wake up the next day and it multiplies. It takes time to transform from the old. Let me tell you something. I was a 10-year backslider and did it with pride. I was good at it. When I was 12 and adopted into God's family, when I received Christ, I went on a 10-year backslide. Why? Because I was a baby Christian. I had no revelation of wisdom and knowledge and understanding. I didn't know that you needed to go pray. I didn't understand that. Why? Because I was new. Thank God I was saved. Thank God, if the rapture would have happened, I'd have been saved, but there wouldn't have been much blood. There wouldn't have been many crowns in heaven for me because I didn't have very many. I'd have got a crown for disobedience. A crown for raising hell, a crown for being in the wrong place at the wrong time. I wouldn't have had a crown of, you know, getting other people saved for ministering to other people and watching them be saved. I wouldn't have got a crown for that. Why? Because I didn't walk godly. I didn't live godly. I just knew I was saved. In the prayer room, you get revelation. Revelation, revelation. I'm telling you, there are things that you're doing right now that if you were to sit down and talk to God, He would reveal to you what you're doing wrong. Not because He wants to point out your flaws, but because He wants you to prune that tree limb. It is time to get rid of the old man. That is the hardest part about being a Christian, is you live like hell for so long. Usually, you know, if you're an adult and get saved, you live like hell for so long, and then all of a sudden you get saved, and you still want to be the old man, but be saved. You still want to do all those old things, but be saved. God is trying to prune us. You are a tree. I saw a revelation the other day. It's so amazing. Trees look like your lungs, and your lungs look like trees. Trees need your carbon dioxide, but you also need the oxygen that they produce. Isn't God amazing? Isn't that something? A tree looks like a set of lungs under an x-ray. What an amazing creator He is. Now, I'm going to make this tree look like His lungs. I'm going to make these fruit that you're supposed to eat look like blood cells in your body. I'm going to make beans look like kidneys. Why? Because they're probably good for your kidneys. I don't know. They look just like kidneys, don't they? That's the way God made us, man. We are designed to fix ourselves with the help of Jesus Christ. Our bodies are designed to heal themselves. They are. Verse 26, He says, in the same way the Spirit comes to us and helps us in our weakness. We do not know what prayer to offer or how to offer it as we should, but the Spirit itself knows our need at the right time, intercedes on our behalf with sighs and groanings too deep for words. And He searches the hearts, and He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because the Spirit intercedes on behalf of God's people in accordance with God's will. There is a language, and I've offered many a times, if you want that prayer language, if you want to know how to speak in tongues, if you want to know how to pray in that prayer language, I'm here to tell you, you can come up here anytime after any service. Even if we don't offer it, just come up and ask Corey anytime he's preaching. I want to learn what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about, but I want it. I'm here to tell you, it is real, it works, it is not spooky spiritual, it ain't nothing to be afraid of, but I'm here to tell you, if you can get that prayer language when you walk into the prayer room, there will be revelation like you've never seen. You are going to do things spiritually that you may not even know that you're doing, but they're spiritually happening in the spirit realm. All we see is the physical. All we see is the results of the physical, because we're always looking at the physical, because we're always looking in the mirror. We see ourselves as we are. But you don't see the spiritual part. He makes intercession for us. And this is the New Testament, people. If some of you have a hard time with the prayer language of tongues and all that stuff, I totally get it. I totally understand, because I didn't understand it myself for years. You need it. I'm here to tell you, in these times right now, they're trying to destroy everything at the highest level. I pray for our president every day. They are trying to destroy. There is going to be an outpouring of devils like you ain't never seen. We are seeing the right be wrong and the wrong be right. Everything that's right is being told that it's wrong, and everything that's wrong is being told to us that it's right. This is how life's just going to be. No, we ain't going to accept that. We will not accept that as the norm. Everybody else might walk according to those way of doing things, but we're going to choose, like a football player walking into a stadium, with boldness. We're going to walk according and with boldness, like a lion, like Jesus told us to walk, and we're going to stand up for what's right. We have to, and you're going to need Jesus. You're going to need the Holy Ghost. I mean, God made all these languages on earth, Russian, Chinese, Japanese, English. I mean, if He's going to make all those languages, wouldn't you think that He'd want a language for Himself? The devil knows everything, how to speak all those languages. But there's one he doesn't understand, and it's that one. He don't know what you're praying. You go into the prayer room, that devil can hear you. He knows what you're praying for. You're speaking in English. Yeah, he speaks English, speaks fluent English. He also speaks fluent Espanol and Russian. Let me tell you something. Devils have been around for a long time. And they'll wait as long as they need to destroy you. 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, that ain't nothing to them. They've been here for years, centuries, millennials. They've been here for years. They can possess a man for 15 years and not go anywhere and could care less. 15 years of them is nothing. And they'll do whatever it takes. They'll listen to you in the prayer room, but I'm telling you, when you get a hold of that prayer language, that devil's like, what is he saying? What language is that? And God's like, no, this one's just for me. You know, giddy to know, my friend. You don't get to know this one. And I'm glad to see our prayer team has outgrown the little room over here. You want to be a part of that prayer team, you get in there. And if you don't understand how to pray, just go in there with an open heart and just sit down and listen. You don't have to pray. Just go in there and listen. If you want to be on the prayer team, see Doris, see, you know, get in there. If there's one thing that matters for church, it's prayer. They're in there praying for this church. But because I'm telling you, we've seen devils walk into churches and kill people. If there's one thing we need, it's the Holy Ghost. There is a language. And that language is what you need, and Jesus makes intercession. The Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. Verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. There is a plan. There is a plan. He reveals these plans in prayer. God exposes flaws in your plan. How many of you ever had a plan? You walk into the prayer room and you start telling God how it's going to be taken, you know, how it's going to be played out. And God's like, no. You'll be about half successful doing it that way. But if you do it this way, your plans will succeed. When you walk into the prayer room, there is, now, don't get me wrong, there is nothing wrong with having plans. That is what you're supposed to do. But when you start making plans and those plans are flawed, you will find out where they're flawed in the prayer room or when you're spending time with God. You will find out your most carefully laid plans. You'll find out real fast how flawed they are. Verse 29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be firstborn among many brethren. There is a conforming going on. There's a confirmation. There is a conforming. There is a transition. Your old man has to leave and go to the new man. You have to prune off the old dead limbs. Verse 30. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. Glory, my friends, glory is a term that you could spend 5 or 10 sermons on. It's deeper than just talking about glory. It's deeper than just talking about Jesus being made of light. It's way deeper than that. You are starting to conform into a glorious spiritual being that is happening on the inside. In a court of law, you are innocent and acquitted in God's court. The charges are dismissed. The more you pray, the more you are reminded of this, and there is no condemnation because you are conforming. You have left the old man and received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. There is a conforming. Verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Verse 32. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall he not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Prayer reveals the protection and gives the confidence and boldness of a lion. It doesn't matter who is against you. If God be for you, who can be against you? If God be for you, it doesn't matter who's against you. It don't matter. You are now conforming into something spiritual that you can't see with your eyes. You are conforming into a new creature. It's almost like God made, you know, man, but when Jesus died and you received Jesus, it's almost like a new thing was made. A new thing. It's like you're not that human anymore that walks around with sin. You're now that human that is a new creature. It's like you're a new existence. You're a new being. Same body, fighting the same fights, but with a new revelation. Verse 34, he says, who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. There is an intercession, like we talked earlier. There is an intercession. There is an intercession. When you start praying, Jesus starts interceding. There are some things that you are praying for that you know about. Anytime you go in the prayer room and you start praying, you're praying for things that you know. Jesus is praying for things that you don't know. The things that are out there in the future. The things that are ahead of you that you don't see coming. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of God? This is so good. Or from the love of Christ. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded. The prayer room will persuade you. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Things that are present and things that are to come. Nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is a revelation of a covenant. There is a bond. God said, there is nothing that can separate you from me. That is a bond. That's a covenant he made. That is a covenant. He said, nothing. Not even these devils that have been around forever. They cannot separate you from what God. You go into that prayer room, there is not a devil that can keep you from getting there. There ain't no way. Now that day, I'm telling you, when you walk in there, that devil's going to start talking to you. Hey, you forgot to do this morning. Hey, don't forget to call Bill. Hey, don't forget to call Bob. Hey, don't forget to pick up your car that's been broke down. You know, if you think that devil doesn't try to meet you in the prayer room, you'd be wrong. He's there. He's wanting to be there. He's got to keep you distracted, because if he can keep you distracted, you can't hear from God. If there's one thing I tell my kids at school, it's this. Learn to focus. You have got to learn how to focus. You got to have the blinders on like a racehorse. Waiting for the bell. Ding, door opens. Here we go. Dun, 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 dun. Where are we going? We're going to the finish line. And here's the devil, you know, slapping you, and the jockey on that horse trying to kick you off, and you're just focused, and you're like, "Come on, secretariat, let's go. Let's get there." And then eventually you start pulling forward, and then you're like way ahead of the devils, and the devils can't catch you anymore, and the devils just give up, and they get tired of chasing you. You've got to learn to focus. If there's anything you need to learn in life, it's learn how to focus on the Holy Ghost. You've got to learn how to put the blinders on to the devil and stay focused. I've always said that my favorite acronym for the word focus is follow one course until successful. Follow one course until you're successful. Stay there. Don't run away. And even if you mess up, I told him the other day in the Bible study, even if you mess up, don't run away too quickly. Stay focused and say, what mistakes did I make? How do I not make those again? Don't run away and say, oh God, I got to get out of here. I got to run away. I got to get away from that. And what happens is you forget what you did wrong and you forget how it all happened. But if you can stay there for just a minute, God will say, all right, now here's where your plan went wrong. Here's where you failed. This is where you messed up. You got to learn to put those blinders, because I'm telling you, here's one thing about about focus, is when you start focusing on things, you can't see what's behind you. You don't see it anymore. Now, that can be a good and a bad thing. The good thing is you're focused on what you need to be focusing on. The bad thing is you can't see what's trailing you. But thank God, God puts his angels on all sides. All sides. Not just one, but all. He gives his angels charge over us. There are angels assigned to you to protect you when you stumble. You know, man, we got the Holy Ghost and angels. We got it made, y'all. We got it made. We are blessed upon blessed. I call it celebrating the celebration. Anytime I want to do something good and just have a good time, I call it celebrating the celebration. I'm celebrating the fact that there's a celebration. Bring the balloons. Bring the cake. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I want to do this before we get out of here. I want to just pray. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front or anything. You want to, you can. This altar is open. Feel free to do whatever you want. Here's what I want to do before we start this week, is I want to pray. I want to anoint this week and the rest of this year. I want to pray that we start off on the right foot and that we get revelation on this prayer stuff. Sir, Holy Father in heaven, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the one who talked to the patriarchs in the Old Testament, Elijah and Elisha and the prophets and Moses and David, not Allah, not Buddha, but God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the one who sent his son, Jesus, to die for us. Sir, we come before you today asking you to give us revelation. Revelation on this prayer stuff. About the Holy Ghost and praying in tongues and praying in the Holy Spirit and getting revelation and getting prophetic utterances that we are able to say out of our mouth because of praying in the holy language. I pray that we are able to pray in tongues and also interpret what we say so that we can get revelation on how you want us to walk. Lord, we know you have the plan. We need the plan. I pray that every tree sitting in these chairs today, that they will prune those dead limbs. That every tree in here today will start producing fruit, the most precious fruit, the most sweet and awesome fruit available to mankind. And I pray, Lord, that we are planted in the right soil. I pray, Lord, that our roots will go down into the soil and that we will be a tree that cannot be wavered by the wind or any storm or any lightning or any tornadoes or hurricanes. We are trees that are able to withstand the storms. And if storms come to us, Lord, we get rid of the spirit of worry and we start focusing on you. Spirit of worry, you have no authority over us. Spirit of you demonic spirits of worry and sickness and disease, you have no authority over us. Sickness come out of those bodies. Even a tree will die if it has a virus. If it is covered in a virus, that tree will die. It goes down to the roots and starts to destroy the roots, and then once the roots are destroyed, the tree starts to die. Lord, I thank you that there are no viruses during these people call sick months. I pray that we don't have to use medicine. I pray that our bodies are healed divinely and that we operate according to your ways of doing things. I pray that we will take care of our temple. We will exercise that temple, even if we have to start off with just walking. I pray that we eat the right foods. I pray that you teach us which foods we're supposed to eat. Pray that you tell us what foods we're not supposed to eat. What foods are we eating that we're not supposed to be eating? I pray, Lord, that our finances are anointed, and that everybody, Lord, will get a hold of the giving principle that you established from the very beginning of the earth. When you established and put the tree in the garden and established the tithe, Father, I thank you that every person in here will get a hold of that. Not because I said it, not because a preacher on TV says it, but because the Word says it. I anoint every person in here and declare in the mighty name of Jesus, this will be the best year of your life. Today is the worst day of the rest of your life. I pray that you will water your tree. I pray that you will spend time praying to the Holy Spirit, praying that God will intercede for you, All you people that are broken, I pray that you will come out of that. And that you, and God, you are the one that cuts the chain that releases us from bondage. You are the chain breaker. You're the one that breaks the chain off of our foot that's keeping us held, that's keeping us in prison, that's keeping us in bondage. I pray that bondage is released right now. You devil of bondage, you release these people in Jesus' name. No more bondage financially. No more bondage in their body, sickness-wise. No more sickness and disease. No more financial bondage. I pray they have a territorial anointing on them that they were, I mean, wherever they go, they everything, every place on this planet they go, they'll just prosper. Everybody will want to be giving to them. Whether they're starting a business or a ministry, it doesn't matter. You have to have help to start anything, even if it's a business. You need people to give to you. If we can ask people for money to start a business, why couldn't we ask God? God will bless us with money. But you're going to have to follow step number one. I pray for a territorial anointing on you. And I pray in the name of Jesus. I don't care how old you are, where you're going in this life. I don't care if you're retired. I declare in Jesus' name that finances will come on you and that healing will come on you. I declare that things will happen. Feet will grow back. Fingers will grow back. Organs that were taken out will grow back and they'll be healthy and not sick. Have a prayer language and you want it, you come after we're done. I offer it to you again. If you want it, you come get it. It's not spooky spiritual. It's nothing to be afraid of. We don't handle snakes in here. We don't do all that crazy stuff. We just do what the Bible says. You need that prayer language. I'm here to tell you right now, it changed your life. Just hear from God right now. That's what he's telling me to tell you. Just listen right now. I mean, with your own spiritual ears, without me saying a word, just close your eyes and just try to feel him within you. Don't try to hear something that ain't there. You'll know when it's him. I'm gonna close my mouth for just a few minutes. I'm gonna give you an opportunity right now to just hear from him. opposite of when devils are screaming in your ear. Silence is golden. It's where you find the precious things that you need to be successful. This is where God talks to you, in this place right here. If there's anybody in here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I want to give you an opportunity right now to receive Him. If you don't know who Jesus is and you want to know right now, I'm going to give you an opportunity. We're going to pray a prayer with you. I'll give you an opportunity to receive Him. And all you got to do is just repeat after me when we pray. Just repeat the prayer. And everybody in here will do it with you. If you've never received Him, I pray that you'll pray this prayer and believe and mean every single word that comes out of your mouth. And I believe that if you do, that you will go to heaven when you leave this earth. Whether it's the resurrection or it's the, whether you pass away or, you know, I don't know. But if you don't have Jesus in your heart, you have an opportunity today to receive Him. Repeat after me. Say it like this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. And I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I believe you, Jesus, died on the cross for my sins and arose again on the third day. I pray this prayer to the Father in Jesus' name. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you prayed that prayer and you meant what you said, you received Jesus for the very first time. On the count of three, I'd like you to just raise your hand and let me know that was you. And by raising your hand, you're saying, I prayed that prayer for the very first time. I received Jesus today for the very first time. Now, if you're already saved, don't raise your hand. But if you received Him today, I want you to raise your hand on the count of three. Ready? One, two, three. Go. Is there anybody? Anybody? Okay. All right. Look at me. All right. Wasn't that golden? I mean, just... Man, you can just, it's so different from devils. I'm telling you, I mean, if you can walk into a room like that, man, so anointed. I pray that you got something. Revelation. I pray, you know, you'll feel it. You'll know it's God. If you didn't, don't give up. Don't give up on that prayer. Practice praying. And again, if you want that prayer language, you come up here after we're done. I'll explain it to you. Ain't nothing to be scared of. We'll walk you through it and educate you on it so that you know how to use it. Okay? Before I turn it over to Ricky, if there's anybody that wants to become, would like to join our church, again, if you've never joined here, it's nothing but us praying over you. That's really it. It's nothing other than just that. If you'd like to join and you've been thinking about joining here, come on up to the front right now and we'll pray over you. If there's anybody, if there's one of you or there's none of you. So, again, if you don't know what this is, and maybe you've been going here for a little while and you don't know what we're doing, this is nothing more than us just praying over the people that have been thinking about joining and just want to be a part of our church. And all we're doing is just laying hands on them, just declaring that they'll just get in wherever they fit in. That's it. Heard a rapper say that one time, get in where you fit in. Like, yeah, that makes sense. you gotta be where you're called to be. You ain't called everywhere. You're called somewhere. You got to get in where you fit in, right? So... all we're going to do is just pray over them and just believe that God will anoint them and bless their minds and just teach them where they need to fit in this church, whether it's playing the drums, praying, whatever you want to do, whether it's helping at the rodeo or helping with our, you know, every quarter fellowship Sunday, whatever we do, or whatever. If you want to be on a prayer team or whatever, just be there. Just do it, because all we're doing is just adding our agreement. That's all this is. I'm not taking down their name.
I'm not going to call them once a week and say, why weren't you at church? I'm not going to call and say, what's your excuse? You know, we're not going to say, hey, where's your tithe? You know, we're not going to do that. All this is a prayer of just laying on hands and just believing, right? Okay, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to turn it over to Ricky. He'll do the announcements, okay? Father, we thank you in Jesus' name that she is anointed and appointed to be wherever you've called her to be, Lord. We thank you for these people, that they, in the name of Jesus, will get in where they fit in, and that they will be anointed to do whatever you've called them to do, Lord. I thank you that you will minister to them in their prayer room, and I declare in the mighty name of Jesus that everything they set their hands to do, whether it's at their jobs or whether it's in this church, Father, I declare they will have favor and that they will be anointed to do what you've called them to do. We know we are gifted to do certain things. So, Father, I thank you that they have the gifts necessary to be successful. And I speak a blessing over them and declare they are anointed by the Lord Jesus Christ, and that the Holy Spirit will come on them and teach them where to sow and teach them where to give their time in this church. It takes all of us to run the church, Lord. It ain't just the preacher. It is the people sitting in these seats, Lord, that help make this church go forward and help to move it in the right direction, Lord. I thank you in the name of Jesus. They are anointed and appointed. Teach them where to serve, Lord. Move on them with your Holy Spirit. Guide them. Give them direction in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. You guys can have a seat. Thank you. Yes.
All right, y'all. Give Howdy another big round of applause.
Yeah.
So don't sit down, all you new members of the church. Y'all come back up here. You don't get to sit back down. Get back up here. Y'all are getting your first assignment. Y'all come on back up here. Come on. Where you at? Get up here. Y'all just stand down here, because in a minute, we're going to have, after we pray and get out of here, we're going to have everybody come by and greet y'all. So y'all can turn around and face here. You don't have to face me. Y'all can turn around and face them. Hey, give Howdy another big round of applause. What an awesome message this morning. Okay, a couple of quick announcements. Sign-ups for the helping of the concession stand for the rodeo. Where you at, Joni? Did she go? Oh, she had to leave? Okay. So be sure and check with Joni Collins, the one that, for those of you who are not sure who Joni is, she's the one that sings up here. So that's who Joni is. So be sure and check with her. Her and AJ run the concession stand. That's a very vital, important part for our church, because we make a lot of money off of the concession stand, and we're going to finish that children's church. Amen? So we need good, able-bodied hands to work in that concession stand. They got it down to a groove. Last year, moving into the new kitchen, it went really well. People come to this rodeo and they wait 30 minutes at the old concession stand for their burgers. All the rodeo cowboys that come know it took that long this year. That order and walk off, come back 30 minutes later, their food was cold, because they were turning them around between 3 and 7 minutes this past year. So they got it down. So be sure and see her. Also, if you have announcements for Sunday morning, you need to see Heidi. Heidi, stand up so they'll know who you are. You need to see Heidi. If you have announcements, you need to get them to her 2 weeks in advance. Now, we know that sometimes there's an emergency that comes up, so you need that 3 weeks in advance for the emergency. No, I'm kidding. But those emergencies, still see Heidi, and she will take care of that, okay? Amen? Also, this bucket right here, Howdy does not get paid by the church. He preaches because he loves the Lord, and that's what he does. If God puts it on your heart to give to him, this is what this bucket is for right here. And you make it to Howdy Byers, BYARS Ministries, okay? And he said if you need help on spelling a million, he'll help you spell that. Amen? So stand to your feet before we're dismissed. All right? Father, we thank you. Man, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that we can come to you in prayer, whether it's in our prayer room or it's in our truck or it's in our shower, Father God, that we can pray to you and you meet us right where we're at. And we thank you for that. And we know that when we leave this church building, that you don't stay here, but you go with us. Father, that you never leave us and you never forsake us. And we thank you for that. We plead the blood of Jesus over everyone in here as they go about their week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With a big round of applause, you're dismissed.